Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again this week to tell us how the stapler changed the world. Simon, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sean.
I imagine there wasn't much call for staplers before the era of paper.
No, absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yes. no fool me. Right. So in days of yore, when people who had paper and needed to affix bits of paper to each other, what did they do?
Yeah, that's what got me interested in the history of the stapler, because I was wondering, well, how, you know, if you got all these pages, a bundle of pages, we take for granted that we can easily fasten them together. Before that, were offices just really messy, or how did it happen? So I got to a key figure in the history of paper fastening, and that is a man by the name of Charles II of Spain.
Oh.
He's an interesting character. I'm sure many of the listeners will be familiar with him. He was the last of the Habsburgs in Europe. He was the product of a very inbred program of reproduction within that dynasty, and in fact his mother and father were uncle and niece to each other, and as a result he had severe learning disabilities. Now, for his staff to try and ensure that he knew which of his documents were of priority and which weren't, they devised a system whereby they would fasten the really important documents for his attention in red ribbon, or in red tape, as they called it at the time.
Is that perhaps where the phrase comes from?
Absolutely. Yeah. So over time, the idea of papers that were fastened using red tape, they became synonymous with government and bureaucracy and important things like that. And that became part of our lexicon. But so, yeah, this idea of kind of wrapping bundles of paper with ribbon or with tape is what they did in the 17th and 18th century. In the 19th century, we see the development of the pin, of course. But before that, you'd often have a needle and thread, and you'd stitch papers together just as you would fabric.
Right.
And then at the end of the in the middle of the 19th century, before the stapler was invented, a straight pin would be put through the top left-hand corner in the Western world of a bundle of papers, and then with the with your thumb, you'd just push the leg up to the side so that it didn't cut you.
Right, okay. And there's still kind of modern version of that, except that the pin kind of splits in half. I
yes.
don't ever see those around much anymore.
Yes, but, yeah. You don't, but I am familiar with that one, yeah. yeah.
So the first incidence of something that we could perhaps recognise as a stapler, and Simon has tweeted a few pictures of massively ornate-looking things. When did we first see that?
Yeah, so 1866 is the date that I'm choosing as the invention of the stapler. Other stapler enthusiasts out there may contest that, but I'm sticking to my guns, Sean. This was a company called the Philadelphia Novelty Manufacturing Company. They were essentially an office supplies company, and they produced the first machine that we can say somewhat resembles today's stapler. So, but what was it? It was made of cast iron. It was a large instrument, and it had a terrifying 7-inch plunger at one end, and you would manually put one staple in at a time. Okay, when you put that staple in, you would put the plunger back into the instrument, and with all your might, you would come down with your fist onto the plunger and hope that it went through the number of pages that you had inside the instrument. It was very coarse, you know. This is a really kind of early prototype of what we now use today.
And you can only do it one at a time.
One at a time.
Yeah.
And there was no crimping. So when I say crimping, I mean the legs weren't brought up behind the paper. So when you took the plunger out and you retrieved the paper from the mechanism, you still had to use your fingers to turn the legs of the staple inwards.
Right, okay. So, yeah, also that was, it wasn't that much different from the pin, as you were describing before, except
exactly.
You had a big metal thing to ram it through the paper. Okay, so presumably then someone had to say, well, hang on, let's at least bend it back at the back. So was that the next innovation?
Yeah, so the big innovation was the Hotchkiss. I've tweeted a picture of this as well. It's actually a really beautiful piece of office furniture, almost. It's a huge, big machine. Again, it has a plunger, but at the back it has a curling, spiraling tail. And this was to hold the strip of staples in place. This is the first time that a stapler had multiple staples on a strip rather than just individual staples that came in a box. However, you still had to move the staples forward manually each time that you wanted to staple. As you can imagine, this took a long time to actually, if you had 50 documents that you had to staple, this could take most of the morning to get through those. So what was the innovation here, Sean? The big innovation was that you had the staples on a strip, but most importantly, this was the first stapler that had an anvil. Okay, I've brought this stapler in to show you. The anvil is the piece of metal on the base, on the platform of a stapler, which has a kind of a, not a smiley face, but a kind of a straight face on it, two eyes, and then a kind of a mouth. And this allows the crimping or the clinching of the staple to take place. And the Hotchkiss was the first machine that was able to do that. So you didn't have to manually pull the legs in under the bundle of papers. It did it for you.
Yeah.
But it was still really hard to get the staple through the paper. So the anecdotal evidence that I've had about the Hotchkiss is that people would keep a mallet beside the Hotchkiss in their office, and when they wanted to actually bring the plunger through the paper, they would use the mallet in order to come down with as much force as possible onto the plunger in order to ensure that the crimping happens successfully.
Right, okay. Still in terms of physically onerous kind of set of activities.
Yeah.
Did the word Hotchkiss become almost synonymous for stapler for some people?
Yeah, like when we were discussing Sellotape on this slot about a year ago, it's one of those instances where the brand name overtakes the actual function of the instrument. And it be in Japan, for example, to this day, staplers are known as Hotchkissu, after Hotchkiss, the name of the company.
Ah, that's kind of sweet. So the Parrot Speed Fastener Corporation, which could mean anything, but is that really where we're into the modern era of stapling?
Yeah, it's amazing. This invention from 1937, the spring line stapler, invented, as you say, by the Parrot Speed Fastener Corporation. This is the stapler which, honestly, Sean, the stapler now has changed so little since this innovation in 1937. This is the stapler that changed the landscape forever. It was small, it was convenient, it was pretty much the size of the stapler that I brought into you today. It was light to use, it sat unobtrusively on a desk, it didn't take up too much space. But what was key about this, the invention, a man by the name of Jack Linksy, what he did was he invented the spring-loaded magazine mechanism, which you see in almost every single stapler to this day. So this is the under part, the undercarriage of the top part of a stapler has a,
it's kind of a spring,
a coiled spring, which when you push the staples forward or when you use a staple, this spring mechanism automatically pushes the staplers to the front of the magazine, meaning that there's always a staple ready to go.
Yeah.
Simple invention, but it saved so much time and it meant that you didn't have to open up the mechanism every time to push the stapler forward manually.
And did they also introduce the two-position anvil? What is a two-position anvil?
Yeah, I love this. I actually never knew this before. But if you look at the anvil on your stapler, almost every staple, the anvil can be lifted up if you push it forward like that. And if you turn it around, 180 degrees, you can change the direction that the legs of the staple will clinch. What's this for? So if I do it this way, so I have a staple that comes out almost totally horizontally, except what it means is that the legs haven't gone inwards. So if I want a temporary fastening on my bundle of papers, this staple comes out really, really easily.
Yeah, that makes total sense, because I thought maybe it was just the thing you did if you were bored in the office. You just changed.
I really hope I have now changed your stapling pursuits forever.
You absolutely have. Now, I suppose this, it's a side street, so to speak, into talking about this. But the fact that there was innovation in the world of stapling papers together, did that eventually give somebody the idea that you could staple human flesh together in kind of surgical situations?
Yeah, absolutely. Almost at the same time, simultaneously, the surgical stapler developed in the very early 20th century, actually in Hungary, which seems to have been a hotbed of medical innovation in the early part of the 20th century. So apparently at this time, from my understanding, is that suturing, or the kind of stitching using needle and thread or whatever they use, was prone to mistakes. It was prone to leakages. And it was actually quite a large cause of post-surgical mortality in the late 19th century and the early 20th century. So medical engineers, or kind of pioneers in this area, we're looking for new ways to achieve two things, Sean. First of all, to make suturing much quicker, because, you know, stitching skin takes a long time to do it precisely and properly. And secondly, to make sure that there were no leakages. And a Hungarian man by the name of Humor Hultl, in 1908, he was the man who first introduced the surgical stapler. It was a massive contraption. It was 3.6 kilograms in weight, which is a serious weight for a medical contraption. And it took 2 hours to assemble and load each time before an operation. But on the plus side, it made suturing much, much quicker. And I believe a little bit safer as well.
Yeah, Simon, absolutely fascinating as ever. Simon Tierney there. We're going to take a break after that. A woman who was saved by a whale.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.